Welcome to Digital Garden State, a podcast by the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society.
Welcome to the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society podcast series, where we discuss emerging trends in healthcare technology and their impact on our industry. New Jersey HIMSS is a consortium of healthcare professionals, providers, and vendors who are committed to promoting constant improvement in the use of information technology within the healthcare industry. I am your host, Mike Fortino, current New Jersey HIMSS board member and account executive with Galaxy Solutions. And before we get started, I want to remind our membership that our chapter is supported by some amazing companies, and without their sponsorship, we could not deliver on our mission of healthcare technology advocacy and learning. Today's topic is top of mind for just about everyone in most organizations, regardless of industry, and that is artificial intelligence. And we're going to talk about legal issues with using AI in healthcare. And to help us navigate our discussion today is Helen Oslowski, a leader in healthcare law. Helen is the founder of Attorneys at Oslowski LLC, a New Jersey-based legal. Listen to me, I can't talk today. It's still early for me, but.
It's earlier for Helen.
Much earlier, right?
No sympathy.
Oh boy. Well, Helen's organization is a New Jersey-based company, and we're very glad to know that. She is a healthcare attorney whose practice for nearly 25 years has focused almost exclusively on advising clients connected with the healthcare industry. Helen is the founding member of Attorneys at Oslowski LLC, a health law boutique practice providing high-quality legal representation to clients across the nation. Before founding her own firm, Helen was a healthcare attorney with a national firm for almost a decade, where she counseled all types of clients on a wide range of legal matters. And also today, we have a guest that's been on our podcast before, and we always enjoy when he's on, and that's Jerry Blass, President and CEO of Comply Assistant, a highly respected organization that provides healthcare compliance management software and professional consulting services. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Mike.
Good morning. So we got through all of that. Thank you for being patient with me. But let's get started. Helen, could you please share your thoughts on what triggers legal issues when using AI in healthcare systems and operations?
Mike, yeah, thanks. It's such an exciting topic. I know everybody's, you know, really interested in this. So I it's my pleasure to come chat about some of the legal things that, you know, healthcare organizations should be considering in all the excitement of AI. I know that there's every event I've gone through or gone to this, I feel like the last several months, everything from HIMSS to Chime to, you know, everything in between, you know, AI is at the forefront of discussions. And a lot of that focus is, quite frankly, on the opportunities, as it should, because we want to talk about technology and innovation as creating opportunities for efficiencies, for, you know, things that we can do to improve healthcare. But I find that in that excitement, sometimes the considerations and the legal aspects get lost, and they're equally important, very important, just to, you know, to make sure that they're kept in mind. Not only kept in mind, but organizations, I think, you need to take a step back and make sure that their internal controls and whatnot are embracing this as they've normally done for other sorts of applications and you know, other kinds of technology that they've worked with at their respective organizations. So
it's just like it's just like when cloud technologies first came onto the scene, right? Everybody got so far ahead of things. And then when you look at some of the issues, especially legal issues in risk, you know, it causes rework, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's not one of those situations where, you know, sometimes there's the saying that, you know, forge forward first, do first, and ask for forgiveness later. But, you know, these kinds of mistakes can be, as we know, can be very costly if not done properly. And there certainly are very important considerations and, you know, both from privacy perspective, security perspective, intellectual property perspective, other regulatory perspective with medical devices. It's just such a wide gamut and wide range of things that need to be considered depending on what kind of AI you are looking at. And I'll just be completely honest, yeah. You guys, you know, I'm still catching up as to all the different facets where AI is touching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's continuing to change. Right?
Yeah.
There's many, many changes still to come as well.
I mean, I'll tell you where it's come up in my world, and then, you know, you guys can, you know, share with the audience maybe what you've seen, and we can sort of go back and forth. In my world, which tends to be, revolves a lot around data exchange, if you will. So anything mm-hmm. that requires the storing or the creation or the sharing or transmission of healthcare data, and as we all know, in the hospital context or the healthcare organization context, that data is considered protected health information. That's regulated by HIPAA and protected by HIPAA and by other laws such as 42 CFR Part 2. And in some instances, depending on how you're collecting it, it could also trigger things like state privacy laws. As you're probably well aware, that New Jersey became, I believe, either the 13th or the 14th state, because there was a couple other pending bills out there in New Hampshire and other places. But we just now that our state has a brand new privacy law that also regulates how PII, personally identifiable information, is collected through means like the internet. And who knows, you know, if that possibly could also implicate AI, depending on how you're collecting that. So I guess, you know, let's start with any organization that's looking at AI. You know, Mike, to your point, like with the cloud stuff, it's, you know, I think it's time to, you know, take a step back and making sure that, you know, the ITIS departments and legal departments and compliance departments are coming together to really evaluate what AI implementation or leveraging IA in your organization really means. And that really starts with an assessment. You know, I find with all the excitement that sometimes it seems that organizations are forgetting that anything that you bring into your organization in terms of technology is just like an application that would be brought in any other sense, whether you're interfacing that with your EMR or you're bringing in a cloud solution or a software as a service solution, whatever it is. AI is really no different in the sense that you really need to get a good idea of exactly what it's doing in your organization, how it's interacting with your current systems, and, you know, whether or not it's impacting things like protected health information. It's not that in all cases it will. You know, there's certain AI that that perhaps is going to impact more human resources, let's say, because it's really focused on employment, right? Employment data mm-hmm. or employee data, scheduling, right? So scheduling of employees into slots is not necessarily and most likely not PHI if it only is using information about your employees and your organization without bringing in anything in any way, shape, or form relating to an individual patient. So, but it may have employment implications. And I'm not an employment lawyer, but, you know, this is what we, you know, in the lawyer world, we call these issue spotting, legal issue spotting. And I think it serves an organization right to step back and say, okay, what are we considering here in terms of artificial intelligence? What, you know, what departments and what systems is it interfacing with or interacting with or leveraging? Right. And then what exactly is going on? What kind of information needs to be run through this? Is it employment information? Is it our organization's intellectual property, or is it anything that is business proprietary, or is it protected health information? Am I running, you know, something that is not identified? You know, that's another mistake, not a mistake, but an oversight. You know, sometimes, you know, they're looking at AI and they're like, oh, it's anonymized. Okay, but is it de-identified? And so everything I've just said sort of sounds, you know, Mike, doesn't that sound like something Jerry's doing? Like, you know, that whole assessment, that's really important.
I was just going to. You know, I was going to ask, you know, as you were going, it seems to me that, you know, yes, it's bringing in another piece of technology. You know, most organizations have done this before, but now it's AI and there is another level of complexity. So, Jerry, can you talk about, you know, in your past experience, if even when it was prior to AI coming onto the scene, you know, there are ways to, you know, onboard technology, right? As Helen was identifying some of the new issues and the concerns, right? The legal issue spotting. What's your experience been so far in some organizations trying to even figure out what's the right framework to do that? Does it change the framework and how they bring on new technology? You know, what do they need to consider?
Well, you know, the thing when we conduct audits around HIPAA, HICP, mm-hmm. that we all have been hearing about, you know, one of our exercises is called EPHI Vulnerability Assessment. And over the years, that's evolved from, you know, what it was way back when to the mobile devices, to the transition of hard copy to electronic, mm-hmm. bringing really what it comes down to is number of locations of PHI. And so really what it comes down to now is like these large databases around AI that are used for training AI, used for actual, you know, some kind of a app or result that helps healthcare. It's another location. So it becomes it's on the list of things that we have to analyze from many different aspects. Does, like Helen said, does it need to be de-identified if it's training data? How do you protect it with encryption and other ways? If it's actual data that's going to be used in a healthcare environment. And also, you know, it benefits from a regulation standpoint or a protection standpoint for, you know, IT and security to find anomalies on the network perhaps faster. Because, you know, they have a tool that is using AI, and AI is the buzzword. There's a lot of different acronyms, but so the tool that is being used, let's say, in a security operations center is potentially finding the evidence of someone on the network a lot faster than it used to. Sometimes in the past it took 200 days to actually know somebody was on your network. Now with AI, you can find the anomaly faster. And then the other part, the bad part is that the bad guys also are using it to get into networks faster as well. So there's many different aspects. I know today's focus is on the legal part, which is Helen. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not going to take away from her time because this is all about her. But, you know, the HIPAA and all that stuff that is normally done, it's just an extension, a new location mm-hmm. of health information that needs to be analyzed from access and, you know, even the patient consent on the privacy side. I'm thinking that it's probably going to affect the notice of privacy practices at some point, potentially. It could also obviously come into play with the consent and from the standpoint of SRAs, it'll definitely be introduced into there, and especially with third-party vendors that are using AI. We know that vendors have created, you know, 60% plus of the breaches over the past couple of years, and look at the one with Change Healthcare. That's probably the biggest breach of all time. So third parties that are claiming to use AI really need to be vetted accordingly.
Not only, I mean, you know, you're saying that this is illegal, but I mean, you know, the security risk analysis of what you refer to as the SRA, you know, that's a legal requirement, right? So mm-hmm. under the HIPAA security rule, you know, it says that an SRA, security risk analysis, which I'll go ahead and abbreviate going forward, has to be done not only initially and on a regular basis, but with every change in circumstance. And that continues mm-hmm. to remain right. a gap, I think, in many organizations in terms of their process and their triggering process for this. And, you know, we've seen very clearly from the OCR's settlements and resolution agreements with organizations that this continues, the failure to do an SRA mm-hmm. upon a triggering mm-hmm. event such as, you know, they've been very clear, you know, upgrades in systems, you know, interfaces, new interfaces with an HIE or another EMR or integration, new integrations, particularly if it's internet-based. There's, you know, that pretty notorious case out of New York with the sister hospitals or the joint hospitals where, you know, exactly that kind of event of an, I can't remember if it was specifically if it was an upgrade or some sort of integration, but it was a change to their internal IT infrastructure, which resulted in a vulnerability, which then in turn allowed and resulted in patients' information being exposed on the internet for months and months and months and months. And then, of course, resulted in a breach that needed to be reported, was reported, and then ultimately resulted in a pretty hefty resolution agreement in terms of a penalty. And so organizations really need to think about AI and bringing in applications or even, you know, I'm hearing, you know, with, you know, already existing software solutions. I'm not going to name names, so we stay vendor neutral. But you know, there are vendors and IT EMRs that are bringing AI in. And you know, you want to hope that all of that is above board and everything's you know, secure. But you know, you still sort of want to get your hands around exactly how everything's working and making sure, specifically depending on what kind of the vendor, what vendor it is. But certainly if you're bringing something in or a new application or a new solution in, you need to be going through an SRA. You need to be calling Jerry or somebody or doing it in-house and really dotting your I's and crossing your T's and understanding how that new changed, that change in your infrastructure, your IT infrastructure is implicating and making sure that you're not creating a vulnerability. That's really ultimately what this is all about.
You know, there's so many IT organizations out there today that struggle with change control, change management, audit control. It's still to a great degree manual. You know, everyone's talks about how, you know, they do release management. They're using CI/CD. They are doing DevOps. They are doing a lot of integration for the process of, you know, to manage change, right? To bring in new tech, right? To sunset old tech, to whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Most organizations still struggle with that, you know, day in, day out. And then you start adding these other layers on top of it.
Yep.
And it just becomes unwieldy.
And why is that, Mike? I mean, that then just, you know, you got to talk, when you start talking about that, you got to start talking about governance, right? And I think that governance starts, you know, is often the forgotten child, right? You know, IT departments are expected to do this on their own without any sort of map for how things need to get escalated, how things need to get triggered and all this sort of thing. You know, you're setting yourself up for vulnerabilities and legal exposure and risk if you don't have the proper governance in place. So I'm actually speaking on this at a event next month in New Mexico to behavioral health providers who, you know, I don't want to pick them out, but there are some organizations that, you know, I'm not going to pick on them because to be honest with you, it really is all organizations. It's really about the leadership there making a concerted effort and decision that it has to start with top down. And I personally am involved with those organizations that are very proactive with this. You know, they have task forces for AI. They've created a work group around AI and they've brought in people to the fold from, you know, compliance, from risk, from IT, from the departments that are looking to use it, like marketing, and the foundations that are doing fundraising. So they're bringing people to the fold. And when something is new like this, you know, you should be meeting once a week and having interactions of figuring out, you know, who's going to take responsibility from what pieces of this. Legal and compliance need to be involved because they got to take that aspect. IT needs to be involved. And the people and the departments that are looking to use the AI in various different ways, like I said, employment, foundation, marketing, not just clinical, but of course clinical as well. And just understanding really. So it really, you know, governance is so important. I was just wondering if you guys, what your thoughts are on that.
from my experience and what I see, and I mostly deal with Fortune 500 organizations today, right? And they have extensive governance models across the board, to a point where those governance models become disparate, right? They take their own tracks, and all of a sudden they've created another challenge in how they will govern what they're supposed to, you know, focus on. And then, you know, in my past experience looking at some of the smaller organizations, like, you know, if you take a specialty EMR company, right? They're focused on behavioral health. Do they have the resources needed in order to put a real governance program into place? I suspect that they have challenges there, and that they're really focused on, listen, I've got a business to run. I've got to meet the demands of my clients. And, you know, they're not on purpose, but they're taking some risk, right? And yeah, they're going to catch up later. Well, with AI, right, that it's that much more difficult to catch up and to come back to what you should have been doing to begin with. And they don't have the resources or the time to think about this strategically up front in order to make all that happen.
Yeah. You know? And it's unfortunate because, you know, the enforcement doesn't discriminate, so to speak. So, I mean, there are, you know, OCR certainly has made an example out of smaller organizations, physician practices, dental practices, other sorts of organizations. And, you know, I mean, Jerry, you know this, your security is only as good as your weakest link, right? So, you know, just because you don't have the resources doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to get away with it. And at the end of the day, we're all, you know, the organizations are the custodians of their patients and their customers. And there's, you know, they are the source for the trust. And, you know, I guess there's nothing else that can be said other than it's important, right? It's important. Yeah. Privacy is important. Yeah. And it's important to your customers, your patients and whatnot. And so it shouldn't be overlooked.
I also think that there is kind of a gap with the leadership of hospitals, let's say, or healthcare organizations, where they probably would benefit greatly by having an education session. I know that there's a lot of that going on too, but it's really important for leadership to understand what it is, because for many people, it's a big gray area. Like, what is it? What can it do? How can it hurt us? You know, and there's like 40 acronyms that make it even grayer. You know, machine learning, large language models, you know.
NLP, NLU.
Those
are my favorites.
AEIOU, you know. So just so many acronyms. We just did the virtual HIPAA summit, a panel, just to go through, you know, first of all, what really is it? What do all those acronyms mean? Mm. And it's actually been around for like since 40 years ago. People don't realize that. What we call AI today is really a buzzword that came out of ChatGPT when that started in 22. But this goes back many years with machine learning and, you know, look at IBM Watson. How long ago was that? So being a gray area, you have to really educate the leadership a little bit more. And I also believe it's going to be really the use case that's going to make it clearer for everybody. You know, we don't have, like, in other words, folks that are using EMRs don't have to understand how it was coded. They just know that the use case, what it does for, right? So I think AI is going to evolve into, let's maybe for certain individuals worry less about, you know, the technical part of it and more about the use case. And of course you have to know how it's being protected and all that from a HIPAA standpoint, but that should come into play like any other HIPAA audit. And the results of that should be reported to leadership. So for example, with the nursing crisis in 2023, where because of the pandemic, there was a big burnout. There was older nurses that retired. Younger nurses became contract or agency travel nurses. The cost of nursing skyrocketed, impacting the bottom line. But now they're finding that AI could be a solution to take care of a lot of the routine stuff that nurses do, and so they can focus on patient care. And that could help with the shortage that has occurred. and maybe even the expense of what, you know, what's going on with nursing, because that's impacted the bottom lines big time in healthcare. So it's such a big gray area. We could probably talk for 10 hours on this today. I cleared my calendar, by the way, if we need to.
I mean, that's exactly it, right, Jerry, though? But that starts, yeah, with, and that's the whole, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You know, you got to start with getting your hands around what's going on, right? And I feel like, yeah, you don't want to let that slip away from you, you know, in all the excitement of what is and what can be AI. So I guess the takeaway message is to just pause and make sure, you know, your organization has its hands around this. I know that many are at times loath to spend money. Compliance tends to be a cost rather than something that's viewed as a revenue generator. But, you know, as we know, you know, if you're trying to cut your losses up front, you know, you might be suffering at the end if you have a breach like mm-hmm. Change, or you have any breach yeah. for that matter. It's not a position you want to be put in. And so, you know, avoiding setting up your system with applications or AI solutions that can make your organization unwittingly vulnerable is not, I think, a risk and a cost that you want to take up front, hoping that it's not going to bite you in the end. So the takeaway is really to get your hands around this, I think, at organizations, get the right people around the table and get the conversation going, figure out, you know, which places it touches. Is it nursing, like Jerry said? Is it clinical? Is it employment, human resources? Is what, you know, what, you know,
radiology. Get your hands around,
start doing that assessment, get somebody in to help you if you don't know where to start. Somebody like you guys who have more of an understanding, and just map it all out and start there and make sure that you're, mm-hmm. you're approaching this in a systematic way that doesn't create risk for you later.
I kind of look at it as, maybe the approach ought to be when there's a use case identified and there's a return on investment that's been, you know, thought about, right? Put some thought behind that and said, okay, you know, we should be able to put together a plan, right? A project that has got a budget that, you know, you kind of do it like the U.S., how we do legislation in the U.S. It may not be directly related to the actual use case, but it's stuff we should have done a little while ago. And let's just include that in the budget here in this project, and we'll get it passed and, you know, maybe improve the overall capabilities and be able to reduce some of the risk that has been with us for some time, right? And to help avoid any kind of future risk. I hope that makes sense, but
yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Another way to look at it, like, you know, just to put a different spin on the cost factor of compliance, right? If you are looking at AI and it's looking to recoup X, right? X 10,000 or X 100,000 or maybe X $1 million, you know, if you're recouping or capturing some revenue or some efficiency that's going to save you money or make you money, then you tie in a compliance and evaluation as a part of that. So it's not really, so it's just a you know, an offset to your overall recoupment of your revenue generation. Exactly. So because it's a worthwhile investment, you know, investment. And in the big scheme of things, it's probably, it's definitely not as big of a cost that can incur the organization as it might at the back end if something were to go wrong, i.e. like a breach.
Yeah.
I think this Change Healthcare attack is opening up a lot of eyes that maybe weren't open before.
Yeah.
Because this one is so massive.
Yep.
And it's still going on. Still going on.
Yep. Yeah, I thought I just saw something this morning about, or last night, you know, the Department of Justice is opening up a significant investigation to all of that. Or there's a reward out there too now.
What OCR has as well, they're investigating. So there's, you know, there's obvious HIPAA implications. They're, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's all over it.
Right.
That's going
to
be.
You have to wonder what's next, because we know that China and Russia have been saying they're going to attack our critical infrastructure, of course, healthcare being that, and others. You know, so you have to wonder, you know, what's going to be the next one? this one was bad, and they seem to just keep getting worse, these attacks. Each one is worse than the previous one. It's kind of scary.
Yep.
Also, that deep fake stuff, I know we weren't here to really talk about stuff like that, but we all know about the deep fake stuff that's going on too. Where that comes into play from a vulnerability is because they're using it for phishing attacks.
Mm-hmm.
To make them look more genuine, you know, more tempting for someone to click on.
Yeah.
Because it looks real. There was a guy in Hong Kong who was in a video meeting with his leadership, CFO, CEO, COO. They instructed him to transfer like 25 plus million to someplace. And it wasn't them. But it looked like them and it sounded like them. And so he did it thinking it was them. And it was a deep fake.
Yeah.
So we have that kind of stuff going on too.
And that's getting regulated. Kind of that's getting regulated as well. There was like, as a parting thought, from the legal perspective, to your point, Jerry, about education and just, governance and keeping on top of this, there's AI specific regulation that's happening right now. So, on top of everything else, there's the president's executive order on AI. There's the FTC is getting into this. There's, Department of Justice is getting it. So, there's a lot of activity happening at the federal level that's regulating this stuff too. So on top of, assessing your internal vulnerabilities, make sure that you're staying on top of all those rapidly changing federal policies and federal laws that are regulating the space as well. And then so you don't get tripped up on using something or doing something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's also the new NIST AI risk management framework 1.0. So obviously it's not healthcare, it's generic.
Right.
But it's AI risk management. So that would be a good resource to look at too.
Oh, that's good. Great.
Yeah.
Well, we are at the getting close to our normal time for our podcasts. What I'd like to do is, Helen, invite you back because I think there's a whole lot more we can talk about. From a legal perspective with AI, and we'd appreciate that whenever you have some time. And Jerry, it's always great to have you on. And I think. Bringing you both back for a follow-up session would be great. There's going to be, well, not perhaps, but I know there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of things that are going to happen here that, we can talk about. So,
sure.
Again, also,
would be my pleasure.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say for all the NJ HIMSS folks that are going to be listening to this, Helen's going to be May 16th, right? In your other home.
May 16th
at NJHA. Yep. I'll be speaking on the importance of balancing privacy with health IT innovation. So certainly I'll be touching on a little piece of AI and everything else.
Great. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
I hope to be there.
Great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Helen in person in years.
No, I saw you at HIMSS last year. Remember in Atlantic City?
Last year?
Yeah. 2000.
Oh, Atlantic City.
Yeah.
See, that's showing my age.
You're forgetting you're seeing me.
my senior moments.
It's all right. Well, it was a pleasure joining you, gentlemen. It was fun talking about this. It's always exciting times and always good conversation to go back and forth on these issues. I appreciate you inviting me.
Yep. No, same all here. Right. So, well, that wraps up our discussion for today. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Yeah. Stay tuned for more episodes, and by all means, check out our other podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. We are New Jersey HIMSS, that's NJHIMSS, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podbean, TuneIn plus Alexa. We were on Google Podcasts, but Google is moving on from its podcast platform, so we are now on YouTube. No video yet, but we are on YouTube. Please subscribe to our channel on those platforms and please hit those like buttons. And you can also find our podcast on our website, njhims.org. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Jerry. This has been
great. Welcome. Great job.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you.